Amen. Don't talk defeat to me. That's the attitude. Thank you, Mom. It's great. Hallelujah. Everyone okay? Fasten your seatbelts. We're on a journey again. We're on a journey of prayer. And last week I talked about prayer and teaching about prayer. And we're on a 21-day fast and pray. I see nobody has died yet, so that's really good that everybody's surviving whatever fast that they're fasting. And the key thing is to fast, firstly, for yourselves. Fast so that you can have time to talk to God. Fast so that God can direct you, that direct your path. And then secondly, fast for our church as a body of Christ. Amen? Fast because God confirms things with two or more people, not just one. So if I'm praying and I'm hearing from God, and you're praying, you're hearing from God, and it's confirmed and it's lining up with the Word of God first, then we know God's speaking to us. Amen? That's how God talks to you. You know, there's so much noise in the world, the television, the Facebook, the Instagram, the WhatsApp, telephones. It's such a lot of distraction. And God can't speak to you if you carry those things around with you all the time. Sometimes I just don't like answering my phones. And I have reasons for not answering my phones. Amen? Hallelujah. And so prayer, we're talking about prayer, and we're going really good. And God is doing some amazing things, I'm telling you. And I'll tell you this little testimony before I preach and teach on the, I call it the model prayer of Jesus. Amen? And I was in bed, and as we declared the fast on Sunday, Monday God said, oh, you'll have a day off. Tuesday, the smoke alarm went off. And I thought, oh no. You know, any of you know the smoke alarm is really loud? And I, oh man, I got up, I got the screwdriver, and I was half asleep, plying the thing to open it, and the Holy Spirit spoke and said, I didn't wake you up to fix this thing. I woke you up to pray. I looked at the time, it was 4:30 in the morning. Hallelujah. I said, okay, God, I'm going to pray. And I sat down and prayed until 6:30 in the morning. And spend time with God. And I'm telling you, church, it was the best thing that ever happened to me in my own personal walk with Jesus Christ. I have not seen the book of Mark spoke to me like that. I got four sermons, four revelations out of the book of Mark alone. God woke me up to give me that. I'm telling you, church, this fasting and prayer is a good thing. It is a wonderful thing. We need to discipline ourselves to listen and to hear from God. It's not a bad thing. Nobody's going to die. We're fine. We're okay. He's given us water. You know, some of us in different kinds of fast. Fast on whatever that is taking your time with God. Amen? And see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the church as a body of Christ. As we all fast together and as we come together, I'm telling you, something is going to... I am expecting... Papa Joe and I have been talking about things. We've been just excited. Every time we talk about it, we just get excited because we know. Him and I are getting tired of mediocre. We want to see something really happening in the church that your life truly transforms. You know, Gerard just spoke about hell. And listen, church, a lot of us don't want to talk about hell. But you know, God created that place. Not for you, but for people who rebel against Him. He had that place created. But unfortunately, hell is real. And the reason why we do what we do is keep you, if you haven't given your heart to Jesus Christ, away from hell. It's real. We need to talk about it. We need to address it. Sin is rebellion against God, disobeying God. Sin, we do not have a sin problem, yes, but we have a sinning problem. God's taking care of the sin problem. But listen, do not take grace. The Bible says, do not use grace as a license to sin. That is not why God gave us grace. God never gave you grace so that you can keep going and come to church and go and live like a devil from Monday to Saturday and then come to Sunday like a saint. That's not us. That's not what God wants. We talk about grace, yes, but it's a wonderful thing. But God didn't give you the grace to sin. It is not your license for driving a truck or a car legally. You can't sin legally by having grace. It's not what God meant grace for. Amen? Amen. All right, I'll get back to my message. Hallelujah. You all with me? You're not going to leave church now? Good. Hallelujah. As I was praying, I was speaking to God. You know, talking to God is so good. It's just like having a conversation. Pray for 10 minutes, listen for 60. Listen and read your word and listen as you go. And he starts to talk. And as I was praying, I was saying, God, why? Why? I was questioning why Jesus had such a powerful prayer life. Why was he praying? And the Holy Spirit spoke again and says, because he's a man. You know, Jesus kept referring to himself as the Son of Man. And when he said that he was going to go and die on the cross, he was like, the Son of Man is going to be crucified. The Son of Man is going to... He was referring to the flesh man created by God. He wasn't referring to Christ Jesus, a Christ in him. Jesus was the body that carried Christ. We call him Jesus Christ. He was a legal man. God himself came down. Emmanuel, God with us. Hallelujah. And he was referring to the man that was going to die, not Christ. Christ, the Bible says, when Jesus died on the cross, when he said, it is finished, he said, he gave up the ghost. And the ghost is the spirit of Christ. It's God himself going down to hell, grabbing the keys of the devil, sorting out all our problems. Hallelujah. Imagine the devil in there, sitting there, ruling by bluff, when God walked in there, died on the cross and walked in and says, give me that you. Grab the keys of the devil. Kick the doors open. Abraham is in there going, Lord, hallelujah. We've been waiting for years. I said, come on, Abraham, let's go. Open the door. Moses, David, Lord, we've been waiting. And the devil got a shock. The devil says, you can't be here. You need to be dead to be here. Jesus said, I'm dead. I've got a body upstairs waiting for me. Hallelujah. I'm here to sort some things out. I'm here to sort some government stuff out. I'm here to sort some kingdom stuff out. Hallelujah. That was for you. You know, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit was going to come. But before the Holy Spirit come, Jesus had to make some cleaning up to do. We need to be cleaned up for the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. Jesus said, you cannot carry the Holy Spirit if you have sin in your life. You can't operate in the full potential that God has given you if you have sin in your life. And the devil got a shock. He says, but you're going to be dead, but you have to be, you know, you have to sin to be here. Jesus says, yes, I've got a body full of stripes, full of diseases, full of sin. The whole sin is on that one body. It's waiting for me. I'm just here to fix some stuff up. Hallelujah. Grab the keys of the devil. Kick the door open. Says, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Moses, Peter, John, Paul, let's go. And the Bible says he led a train of captives with him back into heaven, presented them to God. He says, I ain't finished yet. I got to go and fix some stuff again. Came back down. Hallelujah. Raised from the dead. Got into the body. Raised from the dead. Walked as a man. Jesus Christ is the only person with spirit and body sitting at the right hand side of the Father, interceding for you and I. Hallelujah. That was why prayer is so important, church. But Jesus taught us that he could not do anything without hearing from the Father. Amen? He walked like a man, got crucified like a man, died like a man, got tempted in the desert like a man. So you and I have no excuse. We can say, oh, he's God and he can do that. No, he didn't. He didn't do it as God. He did it as a man, like you and I, legal, walking on this planet Earth. Amen? He was crucified as a man. Jesus modeled a life of total dependent on God. Whew, that was close. We're going to move these stairs forward a bit. Jesus modeled a total lifestyle of dependent on God. And that's why the disciples were asking him, Jesus, teach us what this thing that you've been doing by yourself. That was the most powerful thing. You know, Jesus never prayed. I said it last week. Jesus never prayed with his disciples. Every time he wants to pray, he says, you stay here. I'm just going to go and pray over there. Or he gets up very early in the morning, even before his disciples wake up, and goes and prays for 3-4 hours. Then comes back full of power. Hallelujah. Walks in there. Start doing the business. Hallelujah. Start doing the will of God. What is the will of God? Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse the lepers. Clean up the vessel so that the Holy Spirit, who he was going to send to come and live and dwell in us. That's the will of God. That was the purpose why Jesus was here, to make sure that we are restored, made whole, well, and complete, ready to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the reason why we fast, church. That is the reason why we want to hear from God. Jesus said, I only do the things that the Father tells me to do. And you know what, church? The Holy Spirit says the same thing. The Holy Spirit doesn't do anything else except what Jesus tells him to do. And we're here right now, fasting and praying. We need to hear from God. The only way you can get through life in this time and age right now that we're living in is having a constant communication and relationship with the Father God. Amen? John chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son does like manner. He says, I'm only listening to what God is telling me. I'm healing the blind because that's God's will and purpose. I'm doing all that stuff because it's God's will and purpose. I'm not doing anything on my own. I am connecting with my Father. Hallelujah. Before he can go out and do all these amazing miracles, he had to connect with the Father. Hallelujah. John chapter 5, verse 30. I can do nothing on my own accord. I judge according to what I hear from the Father. And my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will. Oh, hallelujah. That's a good statement right there. Prayer is not about yourself. Prayer is corporate. Prayer is about other people as well. I do not seek my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. Jesus understood authority. He never did anything on his own accord, but what the Father tells him to do. When he leaves his disciples, he goes to a solitary place to pray. He is getting instructions from the Father. Every day, we need to get instructions from the Father, from the Holy Spirit. Jesus is sitting in there, right there, interceding for us right now. Whenever you pray, prayer means petition. You're actually petitioning the kingdom of God. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Sorry, chapter 6, verse 5, the other way around. And when the disciples finally decided to ask Jesus, they said, Jesus, Master, teach us how to pray. Teach us the thing that you always do. We see so much power in your life, but there's this thing that you do that we want to know. And so in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, he begins by saying, and when you pray, hallelujah, not if you pray, meaning that we have to pray. The Bible says man ought to pray and never give up. It says it's not an option. You just got to do it. It says, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to the Father who is unseen. God is spirit. The only way we can connect with God is through prayer, is through talking with him in spirit and in truth. Amen? That's what Jesus was doing. Jesus wasn't a spirit. He was God, Emmanuel, Christ, Lord, with God with us, but he was operating on planet earth as a man. So he still had to connect with his Father, who is a spirit that lives in heaven. Hallelujah. And so he's praying every time. He says, the only way I can get through life and through the day is pray. He says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to the Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees your... Sorry, let me go back to that. So your Father... This King James is amazing. Huh? And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans. For they think that they will be heard because of many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you even ask. Oh, that's a good one. You don't have to pray for nothing. You pray for something that is lined up with the will of God. God takes care of your needs. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow takes care of itself. Amen? And in verse 9, This is then how you should pray. Jesus said, Our Father, who art in heaven, our Lord be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive other people, this is very interesting why Jesus put it there. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive, forgiveness is an amazing thing. Forgiveness, unforgiveness is a cancer. It tears into your life. It eats your life away if you carry unforgiveness and, whatever that is that you're going through. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Jesus' prayer shows us not only what we should ask for, but in the manner that we ask. Very important statement. The manner that you ask. God is not your Father Christmas. You don't go to him with your shopping list. That is why he says there's a manner and a way and a respect how you approach Father God. Amen? He says, who is in heaven? God is spirit. In order for us to connect with God, we have to pray. We have to be in one with him. Jesus was showing his disciples that they need to connect with God, who is spirit, through this thing called prayer. Our Father, he says, who's not on earth, who's in heaven. Our Lord be thy name. We must pray. This is very important. This is respect. If you get this, that's pretty much the model prayer that Jesus is teaching us. He didn't just teach that to the disciples. That's a prayer and a lifestyle that you and I should be living in. How we approach God is how he instructed us. He says, first, he says, we must pray proper respect when addressing God. When you go to God, you don't start giving him your shopping list. You praise him. You tell him who he is. You worship him. Father, thank you. I worship you. You're worthy of all praise and all honor and all glory. I worship you. Thank you. Just do that for 5-10 minutes. We worship you. Thank you. Worship. Give him glory. Give him praise. Because he deserves that. He wants that. That's respect. When you go to ask someone for something, you don't just walk in the door, kick the door and say, hey, I want that. You go in there with respect. Sit down. Say, look, I have a problem. That's how you go to God, but you worship him first. That's what we do here. We worship him, we honor him, we obey, we praise him, we release the anointing. He comes in the midst of us, and then we preach the word. First things first, always worship. What Papa Joe said this morning, worship is a very important thing. And worship, prayer is like your worship too. When you pray to God, Allah be thy name. Father, you're worthy, your honor. All honor and glory goes to you. There is no other God like you. Hallelujah. You're a God of mercy. You're a God that provides. You're Jehovah Jireh. You're a faithful God. These are all the things. God is good. Hallelujah. And you do that with him when you pray. Pray and pay proper respect to the Father. Amen. He says, Lord, be thy name. That's why he said in Exodus 20, chapter 7, he told the Israelites, he said, you shall not use the name of God in vain. Very powerful statement. It's a curse when you do that. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. People are using God's name like a swear word. I have not heard anything like this until I come to this country. And I thought it was part of the vocabulary of the Australian language, that swearing and using God's name. And I thought, wow, you know, Papua New Guinea culture, it's amazing culture. You don't do stuff like that. And that's why being brought up like that, when I came here, I was shocked when people were using Jesus' name and God's name as a curse word. But the Bible says, do not use his name, misuse his name. For God will not hold anyone guiltless. That's a promise. When God says that He will not hold anyone guiltless, He means what He says. It is His word. And He, you know, the Bible says He will watch over His word to fulfill it. Whatever it is, He will watch over it to fulfill it. Unless you repent and turn away from your sins. Repentance is not just being sorry. Repentance is turning away, a U-turn, a complete U-turn, changing your lifestyle, changing your ways. Repent. Being sorry doesn't count. Being sorry doesn't do anything to you, because you're going to keep repeating that again, and you come up down here in the front, we pray for you and you're sorry, and then you keep coming again. God says, repent. Turn away from your sins. Hallelujah. Amen. This goes far beyond merely using God's name as a curse word. It includes such things, listening, as misinterpreting Him, misrepresenting Him, coming to church, being a saint, and then going out and living like the devil for the next 5 days, and coming back on Sunday, being a saint, and going out the door and living like a devil again. Coming back. That's misrepresenting God. That's the same as using God's name as a curse. Your lifestyle, living like that, is a curse. To God, God will not touch sin. We all need to remember that. God does not come to anybody that has sin in his life or her life. God is holy. Misrepresenting God is doing exactly that. That's why Pastor Bill teaches us integrity. The integrity leadership is so much that we needed to grasp that, because that helps us to walk. Integrity is doing something when nobody's watching. Something good when nobody's watching. That's integrity. And misrepresenting God and living like the devil when you come to church, then go out and do something else and come here. Are you with me? That's the same as using God's word as a curse. Hallelujah. Allah B'nai name means to fear Him with holy fear, to be so overwhelmed by His awesomeness and power. When we petition God, we must first show respect to Him. Then everything else will flow. Amen. Church, this is Jesus' instructions. This is Him telling us, when the disciples ask, can you teach us how to pray? I said, right. This is how you pray. Step by step. Getting everything right first. Amen. Your kingdom come. You will be done on earth. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Remember, Jesus is instructing His disciples. He says nothing about cars or clothes. He says nothing about material things. He says, the will of the Father first. Your will be done in heaven as it is in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. Bring your kingdom, oh God, down here. Bring your kingdom, God, into the schools. Bring your kingdom, God, into my workplace. Bring your kingdom, God, into my family. Bring your kingdom, God, into wherever I am, Father. Bring your kingdom. That is your will, Lord. When you pray for God's will to be done on earth, God can't help it but to meet your needs. Hallelujah. Because that's what He said. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then all that car, and all that clothes, and all the food, and all the stuff that you need, not what you want, but what you need. God don't pray for your wants. God releases stuff for your needs. Hallelujah. Not for your wants. I want this, I want that, like a little boy with, I want this, I want that. No, you're not. You only get what you need. Hallelujah. That is Jesus' instruction, church. Hallelujah. Not what you want. His will first. First of all, His will. God is saying, pray for my intentions, my purpose, my influence, my culture, my lifestyle, and what that my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When we come here to pray, we don't pray for anybody of us in here. We pray for everybody outside of here. We pray for the church. We pray for the ministries. We pray for the schools. We pray for our children. We pray for our family. And then at the end of the prayer meeting, we look and say, okay, is anybody else want some prayer for themselves? Then we pray for them. But when we're here, we do God's business. We bring His will into this place. We bring His will into this church. We bring His will into the lives of the people, the families of this church and other churches. It's about His kingdom first. Amen? You with me? Jesus' only purpose was to fulfill the will of the Father. And one of His will is this. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, 2 Peter. The Lord is so slow. Oh, sorry. Let me rephrase that. The Lord is not slow concerning His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you and I, not wishing for anybody to perish, but all should come to repentance. Oh, you know God has patience for you? God will wait. But listen, we are in a time that they won't be waiting around. We are living in the real edge of the end times right now. There is no time to be playing around with God. There is no time to be playing around with life. Life is not yours. Life was given to you by God. The young people listening to me? Your life was purposed by God. Jeremiah 1:5 says that before you were in your mother's womb, you were with God. Your purpose was planned by God. Your presence was with God. And then He placed you in your mother's womb to be born, to be down here, hallelujah, for His purpose. You have a purpose in life, so don't mess around with life. You young people, listen to me. Young people in church, young people in college, young people wherever you are, listen carefully. Your life is not yours. Your life is God's. God has the power to give and take. We don't know anything. I lost a lot of people in the last couple of weeks, that people died that I know of. And I sat there and I thought, Father, you know, I know this guy. Or I know her. But they haven't come to Jesus. They haven't repented. They haven't actually given their hearts to Jesus. And I knew where they are when they died. And it's sad. But they're not here. They're in PNG. And it was a sad day in the last couple of weeks. And that's why I'm saying what I'm saying. Your life is in God's hands. So don't muck around with your life. Amen? He says, I'm not slow. And so our prayer should not be, God, take us out of here. Jesus never prayed for God to take His disciples out or His people out. He prayed for God to protect them. Don't pray wrong prayers like that. Don't pray, oh, God, take me out of here and your family is still out in the world. Don't pray, start praying prayers like that when you know that your family is not in the kingdom of God. Don't pray prayers like that when you know that your neighbor is not in God. Hallelujah. You are here to make the change. And the only way you and I can make the change is through prayer. Amen? You can pray. I'm telling you, church, pray. The Bible says pray without giving up. Pray without losing heart. Pray. And when you finish, pray again. Hallelujah. Jump in the car and pray and say, God, thank you. Let your will be done in my life today. Hallelujah. Let me walk into my office today and let your will be done first before anything else. I know I've got rent to pay, but Lord, I'm telling you right now, let your will be done first. I know I've got this bill to pay. I know I've got that stuff to do. I know that I've got to do this. But Father, this morning, let your will be done in my life. Let your kingdom be done in my life. Let it be as it is in heaven. Washing up in the showers, telling God, Father, thank you. Let your will come. God talks to me in the shower a lot. The best place for God to talk to you is in the toilet. It's really quiet. Nobody's disturbing you. You're there. Hallelujah. Hey, come on, smile. Nudge your neighbor and says, yes, that's me. Hallelujah. God speaks to you when there's quietness. God can't talk to you when there's so much noise. Oh, sarabakarababa, finish. And then you go out the door and say, hey, wait, I need to talk to you. I haven't finished. Are you with me, church? Pray for 10 minutes. Listen for 60 minutes. That's the key. And watch God start speaking to you. Hallelujah. And He'll talk to you through the Word. You know, thoughts and things start to pop up. Ideas and visions for business and whatever. your design, your purpose, God starts to place it into line, align it with His Word, along with His Word. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. When we focus our hearts and minds to pray for heaven, on for heaven to come on earth, the next part of Jesus' prayer, here we go, makes more sense. Give us our daily bread. Hallelujah. That's what we always want. Father, give us our daily bread. We've prayed for your kingdom to come. We've done all that. Now, Lord, we know that when we take care of your house, you will take care of our house. He says, give us our daily bread. The meaning should be very clear. When we tend to God's business, He will tend to our business. This connection between praying for heaven to come on earth and receiving our daily bread ties directly with what Jesus says in a few verses later. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all the daily bread that you wanted shall be added unto you. I'm telling you, church, that is the proper way to pray. You don't put the cart before the horse. The horse needs to drag the cart. So you put that kind of prayer first in your life. Say, Father, let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. And now, meet my daily bread. Hallelujah. But the Bible says that you don't even have to ask that. He knows already what you need. Amen? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, and His righteousness, and all those things shall be added unto you. Everybody say, all, everything. That means everything. That means your health. That means your wealth. That means all the possessions that you need, the clothes that you like, the cars that you're dreaming of. When you put God's will first, all that stuff will come. When you pray for a car, it's not going to come. God's going to ask you, what was the car for? What is the will and the purpose of that car? Are you going to drive around and witness to people? Are you going to help drive people to church? Are you going to be here in prayer? Are you going to, you know? God always seek His kingdom first, His purpose first before us. Jesus lived and did the will of God. Nothing else. He says, I only do the things that the Father tells me to do. When He heals the sick, when He does all that, raises the dead, everything was according to the Father's will. Amen? Hallelujah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all those things shall be added unto you. He says, don't worry about those things. Your Father in heaven already knows that before you ask. Whoa, that is that. Look, that cancels out your prayer. Even before you ask, God knows your needs. He already sees it. You don't have to ask Him. All you need to do is say, Father, let your will be done in my life first, then in my church, then in my workplace, then in my school. Young people, pray. Don't just go to school in the morning. Pray. Walk in there and pray. Hallelujah. Pray is for everybody, not for just the mothers and the fathers and the special people and the leaders of the church and certain people. It's for everybody. Everybody, amen. Instead, He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all those things shall be around you. All those things refers to our everyday need. Daily bread certainly refers to food, but it also, listening, also much more than that. The ancient Jews, study the Word of God, often used the word bread as an idiom that meant that everything necessary for life. When you say bread, that's everything, not just the bread you eat, but money, health, food, clothes, cars, everything. Your need, God will provide. Amen? You with me? That's what bread is. Bread is not just something you eat. When you say daily bread, it says everything, Father. Hallelujah. In other words, Jesus was saying plainly, if you pray for my kingdom to come on earth, in your job, in your business, in your homes, in your community, in your government, in your schools, in every arena of life, I will meet your need. That's God. That's His promise. God is a God of integrity. God is a God that honors His own word. The Bible says in Psalms that God places His word above Himself. So when He says that He's going to say and do, it's going to happen. Amen? And so you and I can trust God. I don't trust Papa Joe. I'll trust the Holy Spirit in Papa Joe. Amen? I don't trust nobody. I don't trust men. I trust God. And if you're a man that carries God, the presence of the Holy Spirit, then I will trust the God in you. Amen? But you only put your trust in God. See, heaven is the source. Earth is the resource. We always get it wrong. We think that man is going to provide for us. Man is only a vessel and a conduit and a channel for God to provide for you. God uses man. You know, I was talking to some people. When you pray for something, it just don't fall out of the sky like a rain. Are you with me? Nothing just falls out of the sky. It comes through people. God connects people. When you pray for something, someone receives something. Oh, this person needs something. Yes, and God uses people. Heaven is the source. Earth is the resource. God uses the resources down here to, hallelujah, to meet your needs. Are you with me? Get this correct, church. Get that correct, and your life will never be the same again. I'm telling you right now. This is about prayer and fasting. This is about really understanding what God is saying in His Word. The Lord's Prayer is so powerful. You can just pray. Don't go out and play. Pray. Pray the Lord's Prayer. Just open the Bible and says, God, thank you. That's my prayer for this morning. Hallelujah. Because that itself is enough for you. Because it covers everything that you need. It covers everything that God needs. So earth is only the resource. Everything is here. Plants grow here. Cars are made here. Food's made in bake. The bakery bakes the bread. But God is the source. Hallelujah. And when you pray, you say, God, I need this. I need that. This is something I need. God says, no problem. Seek first my kingdom and I will sort that out. But I'll do it through men. I will do it through the channels that God has placed. God moves and shifts things around so that you and I can receive. Nothing falls out of the sky. When you pray, you got to plant the seed. Something takes time to grow. You got to wait. Long-suffering is one of the fruits. Hallelujah. I wonder why God placed it in there. Long-suffering. The fruits of the Spirit. Amen. Love, peace, joy, and then long-suffering. And everybody loves the love, peace, and joy. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is love, peace, and joy. And then the long suffering, we walked in here like we're sucking on lemon juice. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is your strength, church. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you. Take time every day, church. At your bedside when you wake up. I tell my kids, get up. Forget about the phone and the Facebook and all this stuff. Put it aside. Get up and say, God, thank you for this day. Thank you that this is the day that you have made for me that I will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. That is the day. Every day is the Lord's day. Every day is the day of salvation. God prepared a day, planned it, made it all for you and I. When we get up, say, God, thank you for the air that I breathe. Thank you. Get up in the morning, pray. Pray in your school. Pray in your work. Drive to work, praying. Pray and never stop. Hallelujah. You know, start praying this prayer of the Lord for the next 21 days as we pass. We're 4 days into it now, and we're going good. Hallelujah. We're grinding along good. Hallelujah. It's good to give up some things. It's good for you. Start praying those prayers and see the changes that are going to happen in your life. Amen? Prayer is not about yourself. It's corporate. When you bring everybody into your prayer, it's not selfish prayer. It's prayer meeting all of God's needs. Everybody is God's problem. Everybody is God's business. We come to do business with God. We deal with people. We deal with everything. And then God provides everything else. Amen? You with me? I'm nearly closing. There's a couple of closings coming up. Verse 12, and forgive us, oh, hallelujah, our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. While you're asking for God's blessing, community, making sure the community is good and everybody is right and everything. Check your inside. Make sure that you are right with God. Oh, that went quiet there. Make sure that your life is right with God when you're praying. Because when you don't, your life is not right with God, it is very hard to pray. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit is going to not listen to your prayer, but deal with your sin. That's why people don't like to pray. Because the Holy Spirit tells them, hey, you need to sort this thing out. Am I correct, or is this just me? Oh, thank you. I thought there was saints in this church. Hallelujah. Oh. Your heart is the greatest thing that God has given you. Prayer is only possible when you have a clear conscience. When your life is right with God. That's why I always say, I don't care. I'm going to walk in repentance because I may offend someone that I didn't know of. And I need to, you know, make sure that he's not offended. I have to always walk in repentance for myself. I don't have the luxury to walk around in unforgiveness. You and I don't have that luxury. It is not from God. Unforgiveness is not from God. And he put that down there in the prayer. Everything else, we're happy about it until forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. God says, I am not going to forgive you if you're not going to forgive your neighbor. If you have a problem with your family and you come to pray, God says, listen, there's something that you need to sort out first before you come and offer your sacrifice to me. And your prayers, so go and sort it out first. But do you know the amazing thing that about this actual passage of Scripture? It's not the person that, it's not you offend the guy, but it's the guy that offended you that you need to go and see. You know, if I offended someone, I would say, oh, I'm sorry, I got to go and sort this out. But it says that if those that have offended you, he said, leave everything down there. Go and reconcile with your brother or your sister or your mother or your father or your family. I know that a lot of you in this church, I know, are walking in unforgiveness. Every time I talk to people, there's always this thing about their fathers or their mothers or their families or their brothers, that there is unforgiveness. I'm telling you, unforgiveness is a dangerous thing to carry around. It is a thing that will eat you alive. It's the cause of cancers and diseases and sickness in your body because you carry something that God doesn't want. God doesn't need that. When you pray, Holy Spirit says, aha, there's something that you need to deal with first before you come to me, because I'm not going to deal with that until you deal with that problem. That's in his word, church. Mark chapter 11, verse 26. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven will forgive your trespasses. Clean out your heart, clean out your life, and then have an effective prayer life and see results in your life and in your family. Amen? That's the fasting and praying that we're doing right now. It's part of cleaning up our insides physically, but also spiritually. When you clear yourselves from all the stuff that's been distracting you, then the Holy Spirit can be able to operate properly. When you want to bring something into you, when the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, and if there's something that is not right from God, the Holy Spirit is not going to come live there. God says he's holy. So sort that problem out first, and then go to God for your petitions. Amen? Can you understand how serious this particular scripture is? It says, forgive those who trespass against you. Forgive them. Walk in repentance all the time. I get up, Father, forgive me. If I've done anything that I haven't remembered, or please, Holy Spirit, you know, quicken my mind and quicken my heart so that I know that I've done something to somebody or that something is not right. When you walk in repentance all the time, your prayer life is going to just take off. Amen? And finally, he says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We know from James chapter 1, verse 13, that God does not tempt us. God doesn't tempt you. The Holy Spirit tempts you. Oh, sorry, the devil tempts you. The Holy Spirit convicts. The devil does not tempt anybody. So if you're going through some stuff, it's not God. God's allowing it to happen. That's all He does, is allow it to happen, only so that you can have some schooling out of that. Not to give you a hard time. You build your faith up by going through some problems. If you're doing something good in church, if something good is happening at our church and we're getting some attacks, you know we're on the right path. Amen? God does not tempt anybody. So don't blame God for anything. He allows the situation to happen to you. Because some of us tend to cling so much to some worldly stuff or some things that we really like. And then when you lose it, you get really disappointed and, you know, you're worried and you're getting stressed and, you know. But God says, you know, I'm letting you, I'm allowing you to lose those things so that I can talk to you, so that I can have some time with you. I'm telling you, this is happening in my life. As a pastor of this church, I need to be able to do that. I need to be able to have time with God and really listen to what He's telling me. There's no room for error and mistakes. If we do it on our own strength, we'll make mistakes. Man always makes mistakes. But when you listen to the Holy Spirit, only do what the Father tells you to do. Jesus says, I only do His will, not my will. Even at the point of the cross, on death, He's saying, God, He says, if it is okay for you to take this cup away from me. But then He said, but not my will, but your will, Father. He did the will of God, lived the will of God, worked the will of the Father, right up to the Garden of Gethsemane, onto the cross. Amen. And fulfilled it. The inclusion of a request for God not to lead us into temptation teaches us that avoiding temptation should be the one primary concern of your Christian walk. There is no time to be playing around with God. You know, I used to go to a Catholic church, confess to this priest, and then I used to think, where is this priest going to go and confess to if he's in trouble like me? You know, those are the things that I used to think when I was in school going to church. And I have to go and confess to a priest. I said, no, I'm telling him all my sins. He may go and tell everybody else about my sins. I'm not going to go and confess. So I stopped confessing to a priest. But the question is, who is he going to go and confess to if he's in the same situation as me? Hallelujah. No one else but Jesus. No one else but Christ. No one else but God. Amen. God has given us a will to choose from right or wrong. Then, just in case we mess up, He sent the Holy Spirit. The Father, Jesus said, it is good for you and I that I go away. It is good for you that I go away. If I do not go away, then the Helper won't come. Church, the Helper is here. The Helper has been operating for the last 2,018 years. He's been operating in you and I. And so you and I, our job is to clean ourselves out so that the Helper will operate more powerfully in our lives. When you pray for the sick, miracles happen. When you pray for something, things happen. When you pray for the dead, they rise from the dead. We want to see those things happen. But before we can do that, then we got to spend some time, sacrifice our lives for prayer. Amen? We need to really listen to the Holy Spirit. The reason we are fasting and praying is to hear from God, seek His direction, reconnecting to the source, not the resource. We are always looking at the resource, but the source is the one we should look to. And then He will give us the resource. Amen. Earth is the resource. Heaven is the source. God is the source of everything. First for yourselves. This fasting and praying is not for anything but for yourselves. First, that God can direct your path, lead your way, speak to you, your family situation, everything that's happening with your family. Kids are rebelling. All this stuff is happening. That prayer and fasting is for you first. And then second is for the church as a body, as I said before. Amen? We want to hear from God. I want to hear from God. Papa Joe wants to hear from God. All the leaders in the church want to hear from God. You and I need to hear from God. That is why we are fasting and praying. Hallelujah. Pray without ceasing. Pray and never give up, church. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm done. That is the Lord's Prayer. Yeah, and if you have not prayed before, I've just destroyed your excuse. It's gone out the window. Now you know how to pray. Amen? You don't have no excuse. I love God. God doesn't give you any excuse. You have no excuse. From now on, you know how to pray. Open your Bible to the Lord's Prayer and pray. You have no excuse now. You have been totally revealed. Hallelujah. Only for those that don't pray. But if you want to pray and learn how to pray, Jesus has already taught us how to pray. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. I'm going to open up this altar for you if you want to come out and give your heart to Jesus. Clean yourself out so that the Holy Spirit, who God sent, can dwell inside of you. God cannot reach the world without you and I. God uses, you read from Genesis to Revelation, God uses people. Always uses people. Always looking for the righteous that can do His will. You are not born to just die, drink alcohol, smoke drugs, live like a pig. You are created in His image, hallelujah. Created in His likeness. You are not born to be nobody. You have a purpose in life. You're not going to sleep on the street and die like an animal. You need to really know who your God is today. Really know the power of His resurrection, the power of His salvation. You need to change. You need to repent. You need to turn. There's no more grace than living in grace to be able to sin. There's no more of that. We are living in a time that is short. There's no more coming to this altar saying sorry, shedding some tears, and going out and living like a devil. Oh, yeah, everybody's gone quiet. Come on, shout. Shout and say, yes, God. Hallelujah. We are going to change. We're going to make some changes in our lives. We're going to repent from the sins that we are living in. We're going to clean ourselves up so that the Holy Spirit can come and live and dwell in us and do the will and the purpose of the Father God in heaven. Hallelujah. That is the purpose of God, church. That is the purpose of God. Little sins grow. Little sins grow. Things that you put in your heart that is not from God will grow. I'm telling you, you need to get rid of it this morning. Clean it out. And never again. Say yes to Jesus. Say yes to the Holy Spirit. He is your only source. There is nothing else. There is nothing else, I'm telling you, church. You need to change.
Amen.
We need to change. Woo! Yes, we have grace. Grace is a wonderful thing. But do not use grace to sin, church. Do not use grace to sin. It is not a good thing. It will make you end up in hell. There is a place called hell that is created for the angels and the demons that disobeyed God. It is not created for you. You were not meant to die and go to hell. You have a purpose in life. You are not born to be looked down, my sister, my brother. You are not. Your color of your skin is important to God. Hallelujah. You are meant. You were created in His image. Hallelujah. You need to know that. You need to know that. Know that. My brothers and sisters, you need to know God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. We do what we do here because we love you. We cannot do anything else without God. We're not doing this because we want to look good in the community. We're doing this because we know that salvation is so important for your life. That you need to give your heart to Jesus. You need to make the decision right now. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Tomorrow will never come. Tomorrow you may die. You may walk out this door and die. Heart attack comes, stress, accidents, drugs that kill you. You need to change. We need to make some change. You are created for a purpose, church. You were made in His image. You were made in His likeness. Jeremiah 1:5, did you see that your presence was with God? You were created, you were with God. Even before you entered his mother's womb, your mother's womb, you were with God. God planned and purposed your life. You are not meant to die, live and born and die and never discover who you are in Christ. You have a purpose. Die having complete the purpose that you've come. Paul says, I am finished. I've been poured out like a drink offering. I am finished, Timothy. I'm ready to go home. Now you can take me, Jesus. Now you can take me, God. I am finished. I have done what I have come to do. And church, that is your prayer. When Paul prayed that prayer and says, Timothy, I'm done. I'm finished. I've been whipped. I've been thrown in jail. I've been kicked and stoned. But I'm finished. I'm ready. I've completed the work. I preached the gospel. The Holy Spirit has come, done his part. Now I'm ready to go home. Church, do your part this morning. Don't let it happen. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. If there's something in your life right now, we're going to pray. Repent and turn around from your evil ways. God's grace is here. Yes, we know that. But grace is not a license for you to sin. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, we honor you. Holy Spirit, we thank you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your word. Father, we thank you. I pray, Father, that your people, that your word has been spoken, that your word is in the hearts of people right now. I know that you are sitting there and there's something that God is taking in your heart right now. I know there's no way that nobody is in here has never given his heart to Jesus. There's somebody here. Your time is now, today. It has been ordained, planned by God. Hallelujah. Come, let's stand and worship. Let's stand and worship God together. And as the Holy Spirit is tugging in your heart, come, let's pray with you. Let's pray for you. It's time to clean up. Hallelujah. Father, Holy Spirit, I thank you. You are here. And I know that you're doing some work in the lives of the people right now. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for our brothers and our sisters. Father, there's sin. If there's any unrepentance, oh God, if there's any diseases and illness, if you need healing, come. If you need to be healed from whatever thing that's affecting you, come. We're going to pray for you today. The Holy Spirit is here. His presence is here. He's going to do the work. I'm just but a vessel operating. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Come on up. Come on. It's a new day. This morning is a new day. It's a new day for you. God has already planned and purposed that in your life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit.